The words of God given to us today are Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. It is page 88 in the New Testament. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. I will recite the words. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Amen. Today is Christmas, the day our Lord was born, and also is the last Sunday of this year. I deeply thank the love of God which has embraced us during the past year. And I pray that the life of each member of our congregation is full of joy, of Christmas and love. As we have announced a number of times, starting from next Sunday, which is the New Year Sunday, a 7 a.m. service will begin. I am truly grateful that many members have volunteered to serve this service. Since the service is being offered as one of the measures to stop inconveniencing residents near the church due to parking problems, I again ask that those who wake up early to attend a 7 a.m. service, if possible. Up to now, I prepare the Sunday sermon on Saturdays, but if the 7 a.m. service starts from next week, it won't be easy for me in terms of physical strength to prepare the sermon all day on Saturday and to hold services 5 times on Sunday. So from now on, I plan to prepare the sermon on Friday. And because of this, I must ask for your kind understanding that I won't be able to preside weddings, which I've been doing on Fridays during spring and fall of each year, according to the order of requests. So starting from next year, the pastor responsible for the relevant district will preside the weddings. But those young people who wish to have a simple wedding without receiving congratulatory money from others may continue to have their weddings during the 5th worship service, the young people's service on Sunday, and on Wednesday night Bible study once a month. And for those weddings, I will continue to be the presider. I once again ask for your generous understanding of arrangements. One of my sisters forwarded me a piece called Goodbye 2011 Yan by an unknown author that she happened to receive from someone she knows. For those who do not speak Korean, in Korean the word Nyan could either mean a year, or it could mean a wench, or worse, it could mean a bitch and could be used in cursing. So when I say Nyan, please understand that I'm not cursing. Well, this Nyan wants to leave without any regret after a month. It's no use to beg her to stay, and she doesn't care that I'm trying to hold on to her. She's saying that it was tough taking care of lazy jerk, so she says she's packing up. Now that I think of it, the promised date has come. We had a contract to live together for a year, you see. I thought she would be better than the nyan that had gone before. So I fed her, clothed her, and slept together with her, but she says she's leaving. Well, if this nyan goes, another nyan will come. But each time a new nyan comes, the nyan comes, live together with me only for a year. Even if you get attached to her and want to live longer, there is no way to do that. And even if you don't want to live together, you have to live with the nyan for a year. It's the nyan that comes across all ages and countries, man, woman, old or young, to everyone. This year, everyone is upset that the economy is bad, and this nyan is leaving after leaving a wound on tired hearts. Well, I got so excited thinking this nyan will be different from different nyans and has such expectations, but this nyan also leaves us with regret. I always start a new life, new year, with the big hopes, thinking the new nyan will be a good nyan. But after it is over, there is no difference between the nyan that has gone and the nyan that will come. Several years ago, there was this foreign nyan called IMF. And remember, we even have to give up the baby's first year birthday gold ring in our rooms and live in the cold? Some nyan leave behind good memories that we will remember for the rest of our lives. And some nyans, we don't even want to look at her face again, ever. Don't ever want to see her again. There are nyans like lovers, nyans that ran away like traitors, damn nyans that ruined our finances, crazy nyans that made us crazy. And you, with what kind of nyan will you be parting with? There is not much time left of a tea together and share a parting talk. I wish that the few days that are left with the nyan would be good. Even if I lived with this nyan and that nyan, there is no special nyan. But I still wish the next nyan will be a good nyan and will greet her with anticipation. Please, may the next nyan bring health and happiness, full of laughter to the homes and all families. This is what the parting nyan wishes. And how was the past year for each of you? On this last Sunday of the year, which concludes this year, we know one fact very clearly. If we do not abide in the Lord, this year, too, can only disappear in regret and lamentations like water bubbles. But if we abide in the Lord, the frustrations and the hard times that we had to endure during this year will come to have new meaning, and the new year can only become a new year as an extension of such fact. From this perspective, the meaning of Christmas that we greet on the last Sunday of the year is truly precious. 2,000 years ago, the Roman Empire had formed a vast Mediterranean world that spanned from Europe, Middle East, and North Africa. In that vast world, Israel was a mere periphery. And even in that periphery, Bethlehem, where Jesus was born, was but an extremely small village. And in that small village, Bethlehem, Jesus was born in the manger of a stable for the animals. It wasn't that the stable had a proper building. Most people who lived in Bethlehem in extreme poverty could not afford to build a stable and used caves as a stable for the animals. A cave where air does not circulate, where there is no light. The manger in a dirty cave where sickening smells of animal manures. In other words, the feeder for the animals, how dirty that must have been. Jesus was born at a place such as this. Today's text tells us well how poor and how unseemly the birth of Jesus appears. At the moment of Jesus' birth, angels appear to tell the shepherds what happened to the shepherds grazing sheep out in the field. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 to 12. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." That Christ, whom Israel people had waited for so long, in other words, the Messiah, has been born. How could the shepherds not be excited upon hearing this news? But the angel told them that the newly born baby lying in a manger was a sign that the baby is the Messiah. The shepherds ran to the cave that was the stable, as the angels had told them. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds who arrived at the cave personally saw the baby Jesus was lying in the manger with their eyes, and they told everyone there about what they had heard from the angels, that this baby was the Messiah, and that he was, the fact that he was lying in a cave stable in a manger was a sign that this baby was Christ. And everyone there, except for Mary, who knew precisely who the baby was puzzled by what the shepherds said. The Greek word thaumazo has the meaning of thinking of it as strange. They, all of them, could not accept what the shepherds said to them on their face. If there is a baby who is lying in a dirty manger as soon as he is born, on top of being born in a stable, how could there be a more pitiful baby, a baby with more unfortunate fate? And furthermore, to say that such fact is a sign of the baby being the Messiah was something that people could not comprehend. And who is this baby? Isn't he the only Son of God, the Holy Son? Christ, who is this way, the truth, and life, the Savior? Why would such honorable and precious being be born in the manger of a cave, being used as a stable for the animals? How could this be a sign of him being the Savior? Actually, there could be no better sign of Jesus being born in that dirty manger, in that cave being used as a stable, as him being the Messiah. The natural caves that were used as stables by Jewish people a long time ago were caves of darkness. Why was Jesus born in the cave of darkness? This was for him to personally show us that even if a place is wrapped in layers of darkness, if Jesus is present at that place, it can become a source of light. During the past 2,000 years, how many people have seen the light that began from the cave and gained a new direction in life. That light that began in that cave have changed the history of human beings into B.C., before Christ, and A.D., Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. And so Jesus, who was born in that cave of darkness, said the following in John chapter 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The stable made of cave had poor air circulation and reeked of dirty and sickening smell. And so the cave was a place of dirtiness. The cave didn't have water or sewer facilities and could never be freed from the mess, from the manure, from the animals. The Lord was born in that dirty cave. And he made us realize that even the most soiled and unsightly sinner can become a child of the most pure God if she or he only accepts Jesus Christ. How many people's sordidness became cleansed by Jesus Christ, who was born in that cave? And so Apostle Paul, who was cleansed of his sins in Jesus Christ, confessed as follows in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Literally, the cave stable is a place where animals live. It is not a place where people live. So, except for shepherds who look after the animals, it's not a place visited by people. This cave being used as stable was a place abandoned by the general public, a place useless for them. And yet Jesus, by being born in such place, proved that even if a person is considered useless, even if a person has been abandoned by everyone, if Jesus is present to him or her, the person can become an honorable person looked up to by others. Although Jesus was born in that dark, useless, abandoned cave, starting from the shepherds of today's text and the three magi's of the East, so many people have visited this cave from all over the world during the past 2,000 years. 17 years ago, even I, who's living in this Korean peninsula, visited that cave far away. Is there another cave, another place in this world, which is more revered and is worshipped by people? In this way, even the most useless person can become an honorable person in Jesus Christ. And so Apostle Peter, who had been an ignorant and poor fisherman working for his bodily flesh only, but who became an apostle in Jesus Christ, who is respected and revered by others, confessed as follows in 1 Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 to 10. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a royal nation, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Jesus was born in that dark, dirty, and discarded cave. And moreover, in a manger in that cave. It was said that the manger is a feeder that holds the food for the animals. Jesus, by being born in that dirty manger, has confirmed for us that even an animal-like person, or a person who is worse than an animal, could become a person of true life, a person of eternal life, if he were to take in Jesus Christ as his true bread. This is why Jesus has said as follows in John chapter 6, verses 53 to 55. Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats My flesh and drinks My blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For My flesh is real food, and My blood is real drink." There was no better place of birth than the dark, dirty and useless stable of cave to show who Jesus, who had come to this earth as a Savior, was in the most real way. Jesus, who was born in that soiled cave, in that dirty manger, is the light which drives out the darkness. The Savior who cleanses all the soiled sinners, who makes useless persons a person fit for honor, who turns animal-like men into people of true life and make them stand for eternity. Therefore, Jesus Christ is the hope of all men, the comforter for the grief-stricken, the healer for the sick, and the encourager for those who are in despair. In the northern mountainous region of Asahigawa, Japan, there was a patient who was born with cerebral palsy and lived 24 years without being able to move his body and was bedridden night and day. He was 24 years old, but had a body of a mere 12-year-old. The only thing that he could do was to speak. But even to do that, he had to try to move all of his facial muscles, and it took him several times longer than others to barely speak. His mother could never leave his side until he was 24. The mother was tempted so many times to end his life by throwing him into a nearby lake or to hoist him on her back and jump into the lake together. But one day, A medical van came to the mountain village to give a free checkup. The mother knew it was useless, but asked the staff to take a look at her son. And the car thankfully came to her home. But of course, there was nothing they could do. A little later, when the medical team started to leave, for some reason, the car got stuck in a puddle in front of the house and couldn't move at all. So the medical team had to wait in front of the house for several hours until another car came. But during that time, a strange thing happened. Among the team, there was a Christian nurse named Yonai. And this nurse came to share about Jesus Christ with the patient while they were talking. And Miss Yonai, who returned home, sent him the Bible and continued to send Christian books to him. And the mother of the patient, without exception, read all of these books that were sent to her son. As they continued this way, the mother and the son at last came to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and became baptized by a pastor nearby. And after that, the mother and the son, their thoughts and their hearts became changed day by day. And the Japanese author, Miura Ayako, who visited them all the way and visited them all the way in that mountain village, left the following record of the mother's confession in her book titled Where the Light Is. My son became such a good son after the baptism. I wouldn't recognize him from before. Before, when I tried to leave to go to work, he would hold on to my hands and wouldn't let go. But after he came to believe in Jesus, he no longer complains, tells me not to worry, that he will watch over the house. Before, I used to think how wonderful it would be if this child were not here. And I don't know how many times I planned to die with him. But now, because of my son, I have gained comfort in the Lord, and I am happy. I am grateful for everything. The life of the son, who had to live as a patient of a cerebral palsy for 24 years, and the life of the mother, who had to look after him, was hopeless as that of a cave of darkness, and was as gloomy as the animal feeder in their cave. But when Jesus came into their cave as light, as the bread of life, the meaning and the value of their lives became renewed. About 193 years ago, at Arnsdorf, a small village near Salzburg of Austria, there was a small cathedral named Cathedral of St. Nicholas. In 1818, Father Moore realized that the organ was broken right before Christmas. Even if you were to contact the organ repairman, it was not clear when the person could get to the small country village. It looked like they have to hold a Christmas Eve in Mass that everyone was looking forward to without an organ. And so Father Moore hurriedly compose a song that could be sung with the guitar accompaniment for the Christmas Eve. And he was someone who had never written a poem before. But when he sat down and held a pen after praying, amazingly, the image of the stable in Bethlehem wholly came alive in his mind. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Father Moore, who finished the lyric, asked Groover, who was the village's music teacher and organist for the cathedral, for the composition of the melody to these words. And during the Christmas Eve Mass, Father Moore played the guitar, sang the tenor part, and Groover played the bass and performed the song successfully. On that day, everyone who had come to the small cathedral was deeply moved by the song. But after Christmas, the song was soon forgotten. A long while after, Morakar, the organ repairman, who came after the Christmas Eve service to fix the organ, discovered a song by chance. He made a song known to the outside world, and now the song has become the most representative of the songs that sing of the light and peace of Christmas all over the world. 193 years ago, the broken organ in the small village, in the small cathedral, which could not even be used for a Christmas Eve Mass, was like a useless and abandoned cave. But because that organ became broken, the Bethlehem where the Lord was born came alive in the small cathedral. And even 193 years later, down to today, that stable is being restored in our hearts, who are hearing and singing the song, transcending time and space. Did you wander in darkness during the past year? Did you struggle in the swamp of despair? Are you in pain because of life that has become broken? Does that broken life feel as gloomy and suffocating as that of cave of darkness? But today, let us look carefully inside of that cave. Isn't Jesus Christ already present in the manger in that cave? Accept him with your heart in truth. Hold on to his hands. Make him your life purpose. Make his words the bread of your life. Then the meaning of this year that is passing will become anew. And as an extension, the new year will truly become the new year. Let us pray. Even at times that we had forgotten about you during the past year, we thank you that you have kept watch over us. On this Christmas and the last Sunday of this year, allow us to understand that the reason there were storms in our lives, the reason we had to go through the dark cave of jet black night, that we had to taste the pain of despair and hardships, was due to your grace by which you would restore the stable of Bethlehem in our souls. Our Lord, who is already present in the manger of our souls, we invite you as the master of our lives. We take your words as the food for our souls. allow the meaning and the value of the pasture become transformed to take on genuine meaning in your light of truth. And on that continued extension, may the coming new year be made into a precious new year in the Lord. And so may our life itself become the best Christmas carol for you and the world. And may the stable of Bethlehem be restored in the souls of each person who sees and hears such carol. Father God, who oversees the history, the era of Kim Jong-il has come to an end in North Korea. We pray that the new age will dawn quickly, when our brothers and sisters in the North will finally be able to escape the oppression, fear, and hunger, and live as human beings created after your image by the providence of God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.